Hello, everyone. Welcome to Financeology 101. Class is now in session. The information provided during this podcast is just that, information. You will need to do further research to address your specific situation. Enjoy the session.
But yeah, so my son is a sophomore in high school.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, so we will be very busy this summer. I'm thankful that we have been invited to 12 football camps for college prospecting. We can only go to 5. So I had to break some hearts the past few weeks that our son, one college came back. He was like, if anything changes, we'd really love to see you. I'm like, yeah, no, sorry.
Which five did you guys pick?
Oh, so let's see. University of St. Thomas in Minnesota.
Okay.
Oh, Liberty University.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Washington Jefferson University in Pennsylvania, also Lock Haven in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And Wingate in right outside Charlotte, North Carolina.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
Was that five?
I think. Yeah.
Two Pennsylvanias, Liberty. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's the five. It kind of hurt my feelings. My son. We had to turn down ODU. My son was like, oh my gosh. I'm like, babe, we are booked every day they offer a camp. We're somebody else's camp. So with us, you got to book us early. I mean, our son had a college reach out to him in November to get to the summer camp.
Wow.
So they were like, before Thanksgiving, they're like, yo, we got summer camps coming up.
Wow. So, did he like ODU? ODU?
You know what? My son is open. He's very open to different styles of colleges, different sizes. He wants to major in history. I think he also has a very great interest in sports marketing. My son is a film guy. He's a stats guy. So like a ESPN or Fox Sports NBC Sports would love to pick up this kind of kid, because he'll watch film for you. He'll spit stats for you. And then, you know, whoever the face of the program is can just go out and look incredible, because my son loves that stuff. But he doesn't want to be on the camera. He wants to be the guy behind the scenes, doing all the research. Yeah, that's the kind of guy he is.
Well, can he go to some next year also? Because he's only a sophomore. I mean, he can go to some when he's a junior too, right? Are you going to decide?
Exactly. No. Our son has zero interest in deciding what college he's going to early. He wants to get, all the offers and, you know, make an educated decision, just like we teach him. We teach him, get all the information that you can about this particular topic, and then you make the educated decision. You pick and choose. Don't feel cornered by anybody. You get all the information, then you make the proper choices that fit best for you based on all the information that you have. So
it's kind of like budgeting too, huh?
it absolutely is. So, but we're really excited for him, and he is one more thing that I want to boast about him real quick, and I'm just thankful. He applied for a summer scholars program at University of Notre Dame. And he's a sophomore. He did not get selected. So we told him, he says, okay, I'm just a sophomore. It's not that big of a deal. We'll try again. You know, his attitude was like, you know, we'll try again next year. 3 days later, they came back and said, hey, you know, we really did like your application to the summer scholars. And so it was so thoughtful. We want to invite you to this other program that you'll be a preferred applicant for. So my son will go to University of Notre Dame for a week, and then Holy Cross is like a sister college, if you will, to University of Notre Dame. So he'll be in South Bend for a couple of weeks. And so to us, this is probably one of the prouder opportunities for us as parents, because this is going to University of Notre Dame.
Wow, yeah.
non-academic, you know, nothing sports related. So we're really excited for him. We're so elated for him. So he's gonna be there on campus by himself 2 weeks, you know. So
wow, that's great.
that's awesome.
Yeah, so yeah. So social media will be very sick of me this summer because I'm posting it all.
That's right. You're supposed to. You're supposed to.
Brag about it all. It's time. Yeah. It's all time. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, we see a lot of negative stuff out there. That's right. Put the good stuff out there.
Yeah. You know.
Like and love and share that.
Yes. So I'm really proud, and you know, and I'll be the first to say my son is not the 4 point nothing. That's not him. That's not his bag. But you know, even with that, he still got, you know, a preferred applicant situation to University of Notre Dame. So I just wanted, just in case there's any parents out there, just because your kid ain't about to graduate with magna cum laude, summa whatever, there's still an opportunity for these young folks, you know, even if, you know, they're trying hard and they're, you know, if they write a good essay. My son wrote two great essays for this particular program. And they were like, you know, even though you didn't get selected, we'll offer you, you know, another program. You just never know the opportunities. But if you don't throw your name in a hat, there ain't gonna be no opportunity.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, we can put that on the podcast. If you don't want to cut that out, we can leave that in if you want to.
No, go ahead and leave that in there. I'm proud of my boo.
Okay.
There you go.
I just want to
make sure you're okay with it.
I only have one son. And I'm thankful for, you know, the opportunity to raise a human being into a good citizen. And, you know, we want him to know that regardless of what he chooses to do, what colleges he chooses to attend, we're behind him 1,000,000%.
Wow. Maybe we should do a podcast on college registrations and applying for colleges and what process you may have went through. You know, the things you guys went through, you know, that may be.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be a good one.
We already had appointments at Liberty University at the admissions. And I just made an appointment today at the University of St. Thomas. While we're there, we're going to go ahead and they're going to give us a campus tour. We're going to talk with admissions. It starts now because I know the topic is HELOC, and so we're getting there, but you don't start, you know, year to figure out how we're going to pay for college.
Right.
Oh, this is something. Yeah. Yeah. Right. We started with our son was 2.
Wow.
So we started, you know, what's called a 529 for our son.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So if he decided to go to college, we already had money that we were putting away for the last 16 years for him. So if we needed to X, Y, and Z, you know, we could. So senior year is not the time to start looking. You start as soon as possible. When the child has a social security number, you can go ahead and lock and load.
Preach. Wow.
Do you all have children? I'm sorry, I don't know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We have two sons. Yeah. They grown men now.
Are they? Oh my goodness.
One works in the school system, one's in the Air Force.
Yep. Where's he stationed? Do you mind me asking where he's stationed?
Is it Usan, Tucson?
Kusan.
I need you to do better, Elroy.
I know my sons and window sons.
Okay.
He in Kusan.
Kusan.
Oh, he's in Kusan. Wolfpack? Wolfpack? I was stationed out there.
Were you?
I know. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow. I know A-Town very well.
Okay. Yeah. Sounds like you liked it over there.
I did. And I tell you what, they had the best Popeye's chicken to date, in my opinion.
Yeah, he loves it over there too. As a matter of fact, he still do an extra year over there within the first 3 months away, he extended to do an extra year. Yeah. So I'm staying the next year. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Then my older son, he's a school teacher.
That's excellent.
In the school system. So you have a problem with him too.
So we definitely know about that 529. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well,
there are other opportunities for money, and we're We want to do the HELOC today. So, Robin, yeah. I'm going to let you do your thing. Introduce the show in. We're 10 minutes in already, girl.
Oh, that's good. We're going to have to be names like HELOCs and what is it? Education.
And yeah.
Yeah, something
college. Like that.
Yeah.
College admission. College admission.
Yeah. Something. Because that's so much needed, you know, because a lot of people need that information. So, yeah. Yeah.
Right.
All right, man. I guess we ain't got to be quiet, Rob, because you already recorded.
Nope. Yep, we record, and then we're going to keep it going because this is Gifted Generations presents Financiology 101. And as you can hear, we have Miss Tina, our financial guru, with us. Tina is the president of the Financial Tea Coaching and Consulting Firm. She's a financial coach. She's a financial mentor. She's an investment broker. She's certified in all 50 states and overseas. And all of that, she's a great mom and an author. It's your turn. Walk in your financial purpose. Thanks, Tina, for joining us again.
I always enjoy chatting with you. And I always feel like this is a chat that the three of us are having, and then like the whole world just happened to be listening in.
Yeah, that's it. You're right. You always bring that worthy knowledge, man. Like you just talking about your kid and stuff like that. There's so much to learn from that. So just thank you for your time, because we know you're a busy person. So we do want to thank you for your time. Just, you know, partnering with us and stuff and getting the word out there as much as possible.
Because, absolutely. And thank
Tina
you.
Tina information is only free on the podcast. Once you talk to
that's
her,
it. It's like, for real,
you.
For real.
It's going to cost
show
you.
Enough. But, you know, I found that, you know, whatever I charge, I pay for myself.
Oh, wow.
You know, whatever it is, I find where your money is. We find, you know, where it could be spent unfavorably to you. Bring that back. Mm-hmm. We run that money back, and then we'll run it to a place where it is advantageous to you, which is why tonight's topic is very, very important, because I think if you use a home equity line of credit, which is what HELOC stands for, I think that if you're using it in a good way, it could really pay dividends for you. And so I've got a lot of experience here. So I'm really excited about tonight's topic.
Okay. So tell, because I'm not sure about exactly what that is. So tell us exactly, what is a HELOC?
Okay, great. So again, it stands for Home Equity Line of Credit. Think about your Visa, your MasterCard, your Amex. Think about you having a $25,000 limit, and you say, I'm going to now go to my favorite grocery store, my favorite clothing store, my favorite sneaker store, and you're charging your card, you know, and you have a limit up to $25,000. A home equity line of credit, better known as HELOC, is like the same thing, except your house. The value of your house could potentially be the limit, if that makes sense. So let me also give another side of a home equity. There are two types of home equity opportunities. And what I mean by home equity, so I'm gonna start super basic because I don't want to talk over anyone's head here. First of all, the starting point to any home equity process is the fact that you need to be a homeowner. So there needs to be a homeowner. This is not for anyone who is living in mom's basement, someone who might be renting a room, someone who lives in an apartment. Right. So if you're a listener and this is your living situation, put this in your mental Rolodex, your mental toolbox, as we used to do in the Air Force, and you pull this out at the appropriate time when you're a homeowner. If you are a homeowner, this is for you today. So the first thing is you need to be a homeowner. You need to have a mortgage. So what happens is there's going to come a point of time in your home ownership situation where your home value is more than what you owe in a mortgage situation. Mm-hmm. Again, the equity is the difference between your home value and what you owe on your mortgage. So let's put it in simple terms, shall we? Now, I don't know anybody who owns a who owns a $100,000 house, but let's just start there. Let's say you have a, you're purchasing today a $100,000 home. Okay. Let's say you took out a mortgage of $80,000 because you were able to have your 20% down payment or whatever. So you have a mortgage of $80,000. You wrote the check for 20, and then you got the house appraised. And in this buying process, so you're going to have a mortgage of $80,000. And if your house was appraised for $120,000, what's the difference between the $120,000 that your home was appraised for and the $80,000 mortgage that you just took out? The difference is $40,000.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Elroy, did I lose
you?
Yeah.
Good? No, I'm
okay,
good.
Great. Okay, great. So now the bank might not offer you a $40,000, you know, home equity line of credit or home equity loan, but the home equity is still $40,000. So what happens is a bank may say, well, you have equity of $40,000, but we will loan you up to 80% or up to 70% or up to 90% of that equity. So that may look more like 5,000, 32, 5, maybe 30. Does that make sense, guys?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. So they're not going to allow you to borrow against the entire equity, but most times you're looking at about a 75% home equity line of credit on average. So let's say that that meant that you could borrow then up to $32,500 on the equity of the home. Now, home equity lines of credit and home equity loans normally have interest rates that may be comparable or could be a little less than some home mortgages. So it just depends upon what's going on. What I found is that some people use the equity for home improvement. Some people use the equity in terms of refinancing their home and they want to throw some other debt that they incorporated on top of that. You know, so there's some opportunity there. So having equity is a super huge deal if you're trying to consolidate debt, if you're trying to do home improvement. When you're doing the home equity line of credit or the home equity loan, I want to point out two stark differences. Think about the home equity loan like you would if you went and bought a car. If you bought a car and did a auto loan, then you will have the loan for this many months, as far as the term, this interest rate, this payment locked in for the next however many months.
Right.
Most times you could pay that off early, but my experience is that if you pay it off early, you may incur a prepayment fee. What that means is this bank was in under the impression that you were going to pay this loan for X amount of years, and they presume that you would keep in with that. So there's a level of money that they're expecting from you. Well, if you decide to be good stewards of your money and actually pay it off early, sometimes they may incur a small fee to pay it off early because they're really trying to make up the money that they're not going to get because you're paying it off early. Does that make sense, guys?
Yep.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So with that being said, that's a home equity loan. Home equity line of credit, which is the topic for tonight, is that you're able to use your house theoretically like a credit card. So when we first started, I think our home equity line of credit, I want to say was $85,000. So we had like $100,000+ difference between what our home appraised for versus what the mortgage is. Okay. So we decided to use $85,000. We decided to go get a home equity line of credit. Now, I know you're thinking, Tina, why would you even consider doing a line of credit? Why think about using the equity in your home? What would you do that for? Why would you even think about doing this? Why don't you just go get a loan from your favorite bank or your favorite credit union? Mm-hmm. Let me tell you why. Even if you have pristine credit and you go get a personal loan, the interest rates, go try to go get a personal loan today. The interest rates are through the roof.
Yeah.
Wow. They are through the roof. So if you get like a $85,000 loan to improve your home, you're going to pay way more than $85,000 to pay that loan back.
Yeah,
if you go to and just go get a personal loan, you know, or something like that. And shoot, even today, sometimes the home improvement loans could be potentially higher as well. Whereas you get a home equity loan or home equity line of credit, again, a lot of times those interest rates fare lower than your normal loans. So that's why we were considering. So we were looking at doing a down payment. So this is why I used, this is why we used our home equity line of credit. And we went, we did the loan first. The process, if I remember correctly, was more difficult and more strenuous to get the home equity loan than to get the home line of credit. And I don't remember the reasoning why we chose the loan, but we did. And then we went to go get a line of credit, and we've been using a line of credit for what now, 6-7 years. So we're, we're just continuing to use that line of credit. So we decided to do this home equity situation in the first place because my husband had this great idea that I thought was completely insane and absolutely not doing it. And my husband turned out to be a genius. But he decided that he wanted to look into getting into real estate and start buying model homes and then renting them out and then selling them later. And I'm like, nobody does this. What are you talking about? You know, you want a what? And he's like, yeah, let's see, you know, if anybody's doing it. And he found someone to do it. I'm like, babe, you're a genius. So we decided to start buying model homes. And so we bought one, and then it turned to two, and then it turned to, you know, five. So, but we started this process by using these dollars instead of going to get a second mortgage or getting a personal loan at outrageous interest rates. We decided to use the equity on our primary home in order to purchase other homes. So our experience have been, you know, we would have to put, you know, 15, 20, 25% down. And, you know, based on our affordability, we would be able to say, okay, how much home equity line of credit can we use? Okay, we have this much available. This is how much they're asking for in order for a down payment. You know, we need to consider closing costs. Okay, is that enough? Can we do it? Can we afford the payments of this home equity line of credit? Because mind you, if we're using this home equity line of credit, guess what? This is another debt that we've incurred, and this is now a payment that needs to be made. So we cannot use a home equity line of credit and ignore the payments. Why can't you ignore the payments like you just would your credit card? Why can't you just let it go through collections? Why can't you just say, oh, well, it'll disappear in 7 years? Them sheriffs is going to come to your door. And they're going to be like, well, you know, you're paying your primary mortgage, and we appreciate that, but you got this second mortgage on your home. So a home equity line of credit or a home equity loan is constituted as another mortgage. That's not what the terminology used, but essentially that's what it is.
Right.
And you know, and when you get a home equity line of credit, you have to report that to your insurance company, your home insurance company, because they're going to be expecting that they need to know if something happens who they need to pay off.
Oh, okay.
So they need to say, okay, we're going to pay off mortgage people number one and then mortgage people number two. And then y'all, you know, get whatever, whatever. So they need to have that information. So that is very important. So if anything happens, that second mortgage or that home equity line of credit or home equity loan, those people need to get paid. And the home equity line of credit or home equity loan bank will tell you, you need to update your mortgage company, and you need to update your insurance company that we also have dibs on this. So if you default, we got a piece of that too.
Wow.
So you have to be very careful. So the sheriffs will come to your house. You will get evicted. You will. So this is something that you are not to play with this. If you're going to do a home equity loan or a home equity line of credit, you need to go in with a strategy. So let me tell you what our strategy was. Because we decided to get this type of credit on our record, we said, okay, if we're going to purchase homes this way, what we'll do is we'll stagger. We'll purchase a home year one, year two, year three, sell the homes year three, year five, year seven. So what we're doing is as we get income from these other properties, what my husband does, he has his company to where he now helps clients get into buying model homes. And so he walks up through the entire process. He's really incredible at doing it. And so he hires me, the financial T, to run the numbers for him. And what I run the numbers, I'm running the numbers to make sure that all the bills are paid, including the new payment that's about to be incurred based on the home equity line of credit. And if the income doesn't cover all those things, I'm giving him my recommendation and I'm sending him my invoice, because what I don't want is a client of his to go into the process and not be able to pay their bills and not let the process pay for itself. Does that make sense, guys?
Yep.
So that was a part of the process. So all the numbers that are coming in, if we're purchasing a home and they're offering us this much rent back and stuff like that, that monthly rent that they pay us got to cover all of our expenses. It has to, including the home equity line of credit. And if it doesn't, our answer is no, because we need all of our bills to be paid by this transaction. And so what we've done is we've sold home A, paid off home equity line of credit. When we sell home B, all that money is ours.
Mm. That makes sense? Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because we've paid off home equity line of credit with sell A. So we've used home equity line of credit to buy A and B. We sold A, paid off home equity line of credit, sold B. We don't have anybody to owe.
Right. Wow.
Does that make sense?
Wow.
So that's kind of the cycle that we started in. You know, we've been able to manage it incredibly well. We've been really blessed to be able to sell. We just sold our third home. We've been able to sell all of our homes to be able to, you know, cover everything and, you know, line our pockets as well. So we've been, you know, really blessed in this process.
Wow. That's awesome.
That is awesome. Zero debt.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so remember last time we talked, we were talking about it. Elroy made such a big deal out of it, and I appreciate it so much. Did you hear what Sister Tina said? She said that she has no mortgage on her primary home. That means she is totally debt-free. So I'm bringing that back real quick. That's how we did it.
Well, you know what? It says, you know, if you're practicing, if you're doing what you're doing, practicing your preaching, and someone, you're going to smile like you, and you say, how much debt do you have? Oh, I have $2.5 million. I might want to go see somebody else.
Okay.
You know, but you're saying you living that actual life, your principle that you have applied is working. Yeah, I think I want to sit down and listen to you.
Right. And that's why it's important to be mindful of who it is that you are asking advice from, and who you're paying to provide you with a particular set of advice. You don't want that person to be coming at the same, you know, apartment complex you're coming out of. That's not what you want. I'm just going to keep it real with you. I'm just going to keep it real with you. There's no other way for me to be. I'm gonna keep it real. So you want somebody to have blazed the path and turned around and say, "Hey, I'm gonna do like when I was track, when I ran track in high school, you know. And if you're a relay runner, then you know you got to reach back to get that stick. And so what I wanted to do was reach back to hand the stick off to the next person coming behind me.
Mm. Okay.
Right.
I get you. All right. Wow. That's all right.
So in our case, since we don't have a mortgage, then we have, you know, zero mortgage. And then the home equity literally is from zero to the value of our home. So we were able to increase our wealth in that way.
Wow.
Wow. Okay.
Wow.
Now with the HELOC, is it that you have to use up the line of credit by a certain amount of time, or is just once you approve for that amount, it's just always available?
This is what's awesome about the home equity line of credit in specifics. You can use as much as you want, as little as you want. if your home equity line of credit is $100,000 and you only need five, that's incredible. There are some conditions, and in my experience, the conditions that we have are we could use the home equity line of credit for the first 15 years. But then after that, it has to be like a concentration of paying it off.
Okay.
This is assuming that we still have. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So this is assuming, you know, we have, you know, $100,000 at year 15, we still got $100,000 to pay on it.
Right.
Now, here is a key that everybody and the sound of my voice has to know. I had some clients in the past that came to me and said, this home equity line of credit is killing us. Mm. So my question is, what do you mean? So they brought in a statement. One thing that you must know about the home equity line of credit, if you don't go in with a strategy, with a clear cut, foolproof strategy, a home equity line of credit will be the death of your financial stability, your financial goals. It'll be the death of it if you don't know how to manage it. Here's what I mean. The minimum monthly payment for a home equity line of credit is, listen to this, only your interest. So let's say you have a home equity line of credit of 100 grand. You used 100 grand. Let's say your payment, your monthly payment is $200. You're like, oh, shoot, we doing this. You pay your $200. You get your statement again next month. You're like, so how we still owe $100,000? Because we just paid $200. We should be at least $99,800, at least. If all you're going to do is make your minimum payments, the only thing you're paying is interest.
Wow.
So if you make, and in this particular situation, my clients have been making $500 and $600 payments for 15 years. And they did not understand how in the world they still owed the exact same amount that they borrowed.
Shut up. Wow.
And I'm like, I'm looking at it and I'm just in my mind, I'm like, oh my goodness.
Wow.
How did we not catch this? You know, I'm thinking, you know, for them, you know, how did you not see this before? I mean, because they're like, oh, well, shoot, we can afford the payments. We're just going to go ahead and X, Y, and Z. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. So you mean to tell me look, I'm a math nerd. I calculated how much this couple was giving to this other company, and I'm making any headway. And I would, the couple would be absolutely ashamed. You know, they were just like, oh, my gosh, we can't believe this, because they just didn't know. But you have to go in with your, something like this, if you don't go with your eyes wide open, you will lose every time. And the system is created for you not to be aware, not to be educated. The system is, you can make your minimum payments. Not thinking, if I just make my minimum payments, that's only interest.
$9,000.
Whoa.
You paid $9,000, roughly. Well. And you still got
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Wow.
So they were like, this is killing us. So what I ended up recommending to them is you need to refinance and get that covered under. If you guys have, you know, the equity, you guys need to have that under the new umbrella of your mortgage, because this will be the death of you. And so check this out. They did exactly what I said. And still save $1,100 a month. A month!
Shut up.
Wow.
Now that payment is gone. And then they lowered their mortgage payment, even with all that money booked into their new mortgage.
Wow. Yeah, they should be kissing you like, oh, give me a hook. Woo! That's a license right there.
So, my goodness.
So it sounds like it can be, it's a blessing and it carries all at the same time if you're not careful.
Yeah, but that's just like any credit or debt that we incur. Mm-hmm. Any debt that we incur, it's the same thing. You could use your credit card. This is what we did when we were younger, when our son was a lot younger. we had a credit card that we used, and we would use it throughout the year for normal stuff. We would pay it, and we would use the points. We'd let the points build up all year long. About October, I would cash in our points. They would send us a check, and I would use that check to buy our son Christmas gifts on Black Friday. That's an advantage.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's an advantage. That's money that we didn't have to come out of our pocket because we really didn't have it. That's money that we didn't have to come out of our pocket to have our son have a great Christmas, because we were using the points to get his Christmas. So if the points were $200, that's what we spent for our son for Christmas. If the points were $300 or $400, that's what we would spend for our son's Christmas. So sometimes he had great Christmases, and other times he had incredible Christmases. Wow. So that's the blessing in that. The curse in that is you don't have enough points in the world to be able to pay all that off if you don't manage this correctly, right? So, right. I mean, you have to go in with a strict strategy, and you have to be laser focused that, you know, if anything happens, we better be able to afford to pay this, because this is the result if we let this out of our grasp.
Wow, so that's a major decision that to get this line of credit to really do your homework and how this works.
Yes, wow. This is a topic you don't take lightly. This is a topic that you go in knowing what you're doing it for and having a plan to go forward, not just making the minimum payments, but having a plan to be able to make over the minimum payments. So you can actually cut into the principal and not just pay interest, and your principal is still the same as it was when you took the loan out.
So when you're in front of the loan officer or whomever, do they? Mm-hmm. It sounds like they don't even explain that to you.
I think what happens is a customer could get so in the clouds, and they're just excited about the fact that they've got this home equity loan. And they're excited about that new deck they're going to put in the back. And, mm-hmm. you know, that fire pit that's about to be back there. Oh, my gosh, it's going to be so beautiful. Oh, okay, the minimum payment. Okay, yeah, we got it. And don't really listen to the details or don't read the contract. Because all this is in the contract. You know, so they're not really reading the details. They're just signing and driving because they're so excited about this new project that they're going to get done. Or that they're using it to consolidate other high interest loan debt or something. So they're just excited. So the experience that I've had, and I've worked with two different banks and credit unions, federal credit unions in this process. So I'm familiar, you know, with what the banks do and what the federal credit unions do. They both explained all of this to us.
Okay.
Sit there and listen.
Okay.
We had to really go in and have that ear to listen in for those key things, you know. And, you know, if you can always go through. And here's what, even if you're starry-eyed during that process, you know, I'm serious, because, I mean, it could get really exciting.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you're using this money, you use this $100,000, and you got this whole backyard situation. You can live back there if you really wanted to. You know, and you've got this whole backyard situation happening, and, you know, you don't have to worry about making a payment. It's like a mortgage time-wise, as far as, like, you get it, and you might not have to pay it for another 45 days, so you're just, yes. And then the bill comes, you just pay it, and you're not paying attention to the statement.
Mm-hmm.
So just like your credit, you always look at your statement. You always, I always take a look at how my payment was applied. And so right. I'm looking at this $200 payment, and I'm like, okay, $200 went all interest, and it'll tell you $200 to interest, nothing to principal, or it won't even show principal zero. Yeah. Oh, really?
Time to change some things, do something different.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So even if you're starry-eyed while you're signing and driving, I call it signing and driving because you just sign it, just get out of there, you know, because you got the money, you're approved. Woohoo! But, you know, even when that happens, still look at your statements to see how things are going. And you'll find out a lot about the account when you start making payments and you realize that the money that you put in there didn't do a dent towards the principal, now you have to, you know, there's some decisions that need to, there may be a call for the family meeting to say, okay, y'all, we might not be going to the movies every week for the next month or two because we need to figure this out, you know?
Right.
So, and you know, and I'm the kind of person, I don't want to pay over $100 on anything that my, that payment was not applied to some type of principal.
Right.
If I'm paying more than $100, something, a 2 cent or something got to be going to that that principal. I got to be knocking that principal down in some way. There's no way that I would accept not making some type of difference. Right. Every time I'm making a payment, I've got to be knocking down the principal because
you're making somebody else rich.
Number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, the interest is only going to be predicated on what that principal is. So they can only charge me $200 in interest if I didn't reduce that principal. But if I cut that principal in half, that interest got to be cut in half too. So if I say, okay, I'm gonna go ahead and do this, and then by this time in 3 years, instead of $100,000, I only owe $50. Well, then interest charges is only going to be predicated now to that $50,000. Does that make sense, guys?
Yeah.
Yes. Yep. So. Oh my.
Yep.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So. They got you all caught up and you paying the same amount because you haven't touched the principal. Okay.
That's correct. That's correct. Wow. So as your principal go down, so does your minimum payments. But again, your minimum payments are only going to cover the interest.
So quick question.
It's up to you.
Mm-hmm. With HELOCs, are they all based on verbal ratings of the market? Well, I know, so that's the only negative thing because if it's going to fluctuate. You know what I'm saying? Equity loan is a locked-in rate where HELOC it can be lower 1 month or it can be higher. Like, why my payment like $510 this month? Or last month, it was like $499. That's based on the current federal rates. Am I correct by saying that?
That is correct, assuming that you didn't add to the principal.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Because, yeah, it does. Of course,
If nothing changed and you added to the principal, then, of course, that's going to increase your interest rates or your interest charges, rather. Interest charges. But if the interest rate go up, and in the contract it tells you, you know, hey, this could happen. So don't be surprised when what could happen actually did, and that happened to us. We had a our interest rate went up maybe 0.3% or something like that. But we were already zoned in to, you know, knock down the principal. It didn't even matter to us because we were already locked into the payments that we were making. So it didn't matter what their interest rate, you know, went up to. We were laser focused on getting it down regardless of what the interest rate was.
So quick question is, can you explain the difference between a HELOC interest rate and an ARM, where ARM, you can't exceed a mortgage rate, you know, for a mortgage over a certain amount per year.
Yep. So the main foundational difference is an ARM is an actual mortgage.
Right.
Not a secondary mortgage or nothing like that. An actual mortgage where the home equity line of credit serves as like a secondary type of mortgage.
Okay.
The home equity line of credit, think about when your credit card has variable rates too. So like sometimes your rate, if you've ever noticed, I remember, I'll use me an example. I remember I had a credit card interest rate that was 7.52. It was 7.52 for years. Then it went up to 9 and then it went up to 12. I said, I'm out, you know, so because I was spoiled at the 7.52. I was spoiled and I just couldn't fathom, you know, them up in my interest. I use that to liken like what a HELOC could do. They could increase your interest rates without your control. So what they do is what they call prime. Whatever the prime federal rate is, plus one or plus two, and that's how they deal with that particular interest rate, okay? Whereas an ARM, there's two numbers to an ARM. It almost looks like a fraction if you weren't, just to make it really simple. So let's say the ARM is 5/2. The 5 means that they would be able to lock in your rate for 5 years. /2. After that, though, they could increase your interest rate up to 2% more than what you locked in at the first five years. Does that make sense, guys?
Yeah. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah.
So that's how that variable starts. So me and my husband, our first home when we bought in Omaha, Nebraska, 10906 Potter Street. I'm very proud of the first house that we bought in Omaha. We did an ARM. We were military. We knew we wouldn't be there for more than 5 years. So we did a 5-year ARM. I think we did 5/1. So we bought an ARM, and one of the guys that was in the office with me, he was an officer. And so I happened to be talking, you know, about this process, and he turns around, he says, "Hey, Tina, you know, you can just do an ARM." I'm like, "Heavens no, we would never do an ARM," you know, so because I knew that that could, you know, my understanding of an ARM was that it was way too dangerous and risky, and don't you ever do it. And so he broke down what him and his wife did. I said, "That makes so much sense. That's what we're going to do." Because if we went with a normal loan, like a conventional or a VA or what's the other loan? Anyway, if you go through those types of loans, they're going to give you whatever the interest rate is. If you do an ARM is lower than what those other interest rates are until you get caught up in the /2 or /whatever, right? That's when it starts to get creep up on you. Okay. So what he was explaining to us was, "Hey, we're only going to be here 2 years. We just did a 5-1 ARM." And so he said, "We leave, we're selling it." I was like, "Well, if we leave, we're selling it too. And we're definitely not going to be here 5 years." In fact, we ended up being there like 2 years and 2 months, you know, almost to the day. And we were like, "Well, maybe this is, you know, an option for us." Sure enough, we went through the ARM process. So again, we were active duty military. We did not use our VA loan for our first house because we knew we were going to leave, and we had no intentions on renting it out and stuff like that. We didn't know anything about that. So we were just, you know, going to leave that alone. And we also didn't know how often we would come back to Omaha, Nebraska, which is a diamond in the rough city. That's a whole nother conversation for another day. Oh, I love Omaha. Love, love, love Omaha, Nebraska. And I'm Black. Okay, so I love Omaha. Omaha, Nebraska was the bomb. Okay, so anyway, so we said, "Well, maybe that could work for us." And sure enough, we decided to use an ARM, and we sold it within the first 5 years of that locked-in rate. So we were never affected negatively by the ARM. I hope that answered your question and an example. Okay.
Yeah, that 5/ explains a lot versus a variable could go up any time the rate changes versus you're locked in for the first five years or whatever the first 10 years.
It's a lower interest rate than your traditional FHA, whatever.
So that makes a big difference then. Okay.
Yeah. Because they know majority of the people are not gonna watch that. They're gonna be like, "Oh, it's lower interest rate, oh, we'll worry about it later." And then they get you later. But you gotta just like any game when it comes to finances, you gotta know the rules so you can play the game and don't get played.
Right.
You have to be able to know the rules. If you know the rules, you can't get played. They can never play you if you know them rules because you beat them at their own game. Does it make sense?
Yeah, it does.
So it requires you to do your homework.
Yes.
Well, yeah, it's been a lot.
I do have one quick question about HELOC. If you paid it off early, is there a cancellation fee you know what I'm saying? No.
So here's the beauty and the stark difference between home equity line of credit and home equity loan. When you have a home equity loan and you pay it off, that account is closed out. You have paid the loan off, you're done. But think about a home equity line of credit in comparison to like a credit card. Let's say you have your favorite store card. I won't name my favorite store card because I'm not doing that. But when I go to Macy's and use my card, when I go to Macy's and use my card, when I make my purchase and then when I get the bill, I pay it off. Did my Macy's card close?
No. Okay.
My Macy's card didn't close. I just have a zero balance.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Same with the home equity line of credit. Yep.
Right. The key word is the line of credit versus
line of credit versus a loan.
Right. One is giving you amount, you pay it back. One means, hey, you have this amount, you can do what you want to with it. You can max it out, you can use a little bit of it. It's up to you to use.
That's correct.
You know, so
The
difference is line of credit.
Right. And that line of credit remains open unless you close it or unless. Right.
Right. You just don't pay it
and
they
close and you don't pay it and they close it on you. That's a whole other story. But if managed correctly, you can you can bump it up. I mean, you can use it up as much as you want or as little as you want. Totally up to you. But the line of credit stays open unless something you close it or something derogatory happens.
Right. Okay. Yep. Okay. Wow.
Great information.
Yes, it was very informative.
Wrap it up, Rob. In summary, what you want to do? Up to you.
Now, we think they can give her social media handles, and then you can give ours.
Okay. All right.
You guys know where I am. If you want to follow me anywhere, let's start on Insta. So you guys may not know this. I was at the ESPNW Summit earlier this month. Yes.
How was it?
I met some ESPN icons. I was so excited. Shout out to L. Duncan, Monica McNutt, Lachina Robinson. Shout out to Christine Williams, the ball girl. These chicks rock. And I met some awesome people concerning how to get a little bit more into the sports industry, because my intent is to get into helping professional athletes manage their dollars better for after the last whistle blows. So when they're done with their careers, how do we use the money that you gained while in that sport so we can continue a healthy lifestyle going forward?
That's a book, girl. So, that's a book. You just hit a title right there. After the whistle blows.
Yes, after the last whistle blows. So the reason why I bring that up is because I learned there that instead of, it's not called the gram anymore, it's called Insta. So if you want to follow me on Insta, I am at...
I got to change my language now.
Yes, it's Insta now. Come on, Elroy, let's get with it. Come on, Elroy.
Insta. Okay.
Insta, okay?
Okay.
So follow me on Insta at the_financial_T. That is TheFinancialT. So follow me there. I'm also on Twitter at TheFinancialT, one word, at TheFinancialT. The letter T, same as YouTube. And I'm sorry, not YouTube, same as Facebook. I'm sure I'm somewhere else. So Insta, Twitter, Facebook, search the financial T on YouTube. You got me there. You can also go to my website, thefinancialt.org, where you can look at more information about my business and how we're able to help not only the professional athlete, but also the millennial professional. So our hearts are towards professionals, and you can also cop my book right there on my website. So again, thefinancialt.org.
Well, I tell you, and hopefully within the next 4 weeks, we can sit down with you and do a presentation to you for our budgeting app that we have. So hopefully it'll be done. Yeah, we had to reinvent it, rebrand it with another new developer. And hopefully we can get those that worked out. It'll be on both.
Well,
platforms.
It's all good, and I would be very honored to be one of those individuals to be able to, you know, do some stuff, because you guys know I'm an Excel spreadsheet
geek.
Yes, so I'm a geek there. So if there's anything that I could do to, you know, help, you know, figure out some plug-in numbers, absolutely, and I would be honored, because what you guys do is so important. Being able to, you know, invite people like myself and others, you know, to use a platform where we're able to share crisp, solid information that is very easy to digest. You know, when I spill tea, it's always sweet. So, we're able to, you know, use this information in your everyday life so that you can be better using Financeology. So thank you guys for always hosting me. You guys are always gracious hosts. I really enjoy our conversations when we get together.
Well, thank you. So you can follow us on Insta
Yes. See, there you go.
At gift.gen. And on Facebook, you can find us at GiftedGen LLC. And you also can find us on YouTube. Just search for Gifted Generations. Go ahead and subscribe to that too. And you can start following us on that on YouTube. And you also can hit us on our website. It's Gifted Generations. That's a dash LLC.com. Please don't forget that
don't
dash.
Don't forget that dash. Yes.
I'm going to tell you, you may get some come up. Don't be blaming us for what pulls up. Well, we got some big things we're going to be announcing hopefully next month. When Robin and I have a trip to go to New York to see my face in Times Square. And then I also found out, you know, our article is going to be coming out in the magazines pretty soon, which is for the Dose of Victory for Veterans book collection updates. Book collection. It's called Dose of Victory for Veterans, book collaboration. So we're looking for that too.
Congratulations. So
thank you. You know, it's just to be a part of it is an honor. So definitely want to see my face in Times Square, you know, which is, hey, that's different for me. I'm in Times Square, so we want to go up and just get a snapshot of that thing and just be a part of our history-making type situation. And then once the article comes out online, definitely going to post that too. So we got a lot of big things coming up. So just stay tuned, because it's going to all come together. When it all comes together, it's going to be like, boom, be like in your face. I'm going to be Brandon Hall. I'm going to be hitting the pavements. I'm going to be knocking on. I'm going to be like the people, the voters. I'm going to be sending you texts. I'm going to be knocking your door. Hey.
That's right.
I'm going to be out there in the streets. Stay tuned. Stay locked in.
That is so awesome, guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Tina, as always. Thank you. Thank you for your time and definitely your sweet tea.
Yes. Spill it.
Yes. Y'all know I like that diabetes sweet tea. I don't like that mild tea. I like that
make
diabetes.
Make you shiver. Make you shake.
Yes. That's what I like. Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
All right.
Okay, that's the end of our session, and we hope everyone have a good night and a safe Memorial Day weekend.
All right. Yeah, take care,
everybody.
Thank you, Tina.
Thanks, Tina.
Those who joined ABC7 show, joined the room, and also
I'm peeping.
Suri SH joined the room. ABC7 show. Okay, I'm impressed. They definitely also following you, girl. They definitely following you.
Prophet Nana, y'all.
Okay.
Has also joined, so we're just so excited that you guys were here. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Yep, I just saw that. You're right. But thank you guys for joining. I appreciate that. They definitely following you, girl. They definitely following you. Hey, tell them to follow us too. We always love to have you on. If you guys want to collaborate sometime on this show, you can do the exact same thing. Invite them on.
Thank you, guys.
Talking to them too. Wow. Great. That's great.
Thank you guys so much. You guys have a lovely evening and a safe holiday. Thank you.
All right.
You too. Thank you. Take care. All right. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you for tuning in to our podcast, Financeology 101. I hope you enjoyed this session and the information provided will assist you on your financial journey. Until next time, be financially engaged.